Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Seriously, if you want to relieve stress, go to the Word of God.
Oh my goodness. It's just so weird, isn't it? Do people say stuff like that?
I apologize for him.
Are you kidding me?
Let's all do baptism, and I have a little pool here, and we'll all feel nice and relaxed. That's baptism. No, baptism is a sacred Christian rite. All the various yogas are sacred Hindu rites.
Wake up, America!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Righteousness and justice are the foundation of God's throne. This is Wretched Radio. It is Witness Wednesday. Talking to young people about justice, where does the concept come from? Can we have it without God? I don't think so, but we'll challenge them and see where the conversation goes. I'm guessing into a great big justice conversation, also known as a witness encounter. Hey, gentlemen, while you're eating, could I ask you a couple of questions on the radio? Nothing personal, just a question about something that's going on in the news. Will you let me do that?
Sure.
Okay, dude, sure. You can keep eating if you want to.
All right.
That's a deep fried chicken sandwich, isn't it?
Yeah. 100% peanut oil.
100% what?
100% refined peanut oil.
And that's better than what?
Partially hydrogenated soybean oil.
Dude, you know that stuff. Is this your field of study or something? How do you know that? Are you a cook?
I guess I'm just a savvy consumer.
I guess you are. What are you studying here?
Environmental engineering.
Well, I'd have no idea. Oh, I think I do know what that means. I've got an uncle who does that. You make sure that everything that's out there that we produce and do doesn't wreck the place. Huh?
Kind of, yeah.
What's the other part I'm missing?
Water quality engineering.
Okay, so that we get good clean water, right?
Yeah.
All right. Let me ask you the question. Did you see this case? The fellow's name is David Earls. He's this fellow who raped a 4-year-old girl. And it turns out, it looks like he's going to maybe get a year for doing that. Here's my question for you. Do you think that justice has been served with a 1-year sentence in this case?
Judging by the information you've given me, no.
Why?
Because rape is considered a capital offense.
Okay, so you agree that rape is a very bad thing, especially with a 4-year-old?
Right, but I don't know the details, so I don't know why his sentence would be so low.
Can you imagine any scenario that would make it a just sentencing?
No.
I can't either. Dude, what do you think? 1 year raping and sodomizing a 4-year-old girl, 1 year out of jail in the fall, unless something changes here. Do you think that's justice?
No, probably not.
Okay, here's my question next for you guys. How do you know? I mean, intrinsically, it sounds like you think that was a bad thing to do. Why was that a bad thing? How do you determine that?
I don't know. It's just about what you believe yourself.
So if I believe that raping a 4-year-old is okay, you're okay with that?
It's about you're not allowed to infringe upon the rights of another citizen.
Ah, so that's the standard.
Right. That's why the laws are there.
Okay. Now, how do you know that that's the standard?
How do I know that that's the standard?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that's why the law and the police should be there for me. Because if I pay tax dollars, that's what I think they should do. They should protect my rights from being infringed upon by anyone else.
Mm-hmm. Now, what would happen if our little society decided that wasn't the rule? You can pretty much do anything you want to. I could punch you in the nose if I felt like it, because the majority decided that was okay. Would that suddenly make it right?
No.
So is my foundation or your foundation maybe then a little bit wobbly? Don't you need to call in a higher source to be able to say this is why it's definitely a wrong thing? If it's individuals deciding, mm-hmm. or if it's society just making a majority ruling on it, isn't that problematic? Because ultimately even the majority can make mistakes, correct?
Yeah, the majority can make mistakes.
Yeah.
It's about each person determining what they think is right.
So every man should do what is right in his own eyes.
Yeah, but at the same time, if what is right in your eyes infringes upon the rights of another citizen, then you have to pay the consequences.
Mm-hmm. All right, and then we're back to kind of our original stymie here. Dude, where do you get your standard for understanding that what happened to this young girl was wrong? How do you... You heard about a four-year-old child getting raped. I hope something inside of you goes, ugh, that's terrible, right?
Yeah.
You know, we can get a reaction out of you for that, right? Not the sprinkling so much, but that child, that's a horrible thing, correct?
Yeah.
How do you know?
I just do.
Okay, what if I just don't?
Well, your cellmate will help you out with
all right. Okay, guys, I want to ask you, I want to lay something down for you. Do you know what the Declaration of Independence says about where we get our rights?
Declaration of Independence.
I'm sorry, the Declaration of Independence what?
Isn't law.
Right, isn't it a document whose principles we strive to follow as Americans?
Right, but it's not law itself.
Right. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Isn't it necessary to be able to call on a Creator who endows us with these rights as our supreme authority is ultimately where the buck needs to stop? And without that, every man will do what is right in his own eyes. Justice will be whimsical. It'll happen based on who the judge is or what the majority rules. But ultimately, our rights, morals, righteousness, and judgment and justice need to come from a Creator. What do you think about that thought?
Not much.
Really? Why not?
Because...
It's the Declaration of Independence.
I mean, that's like saying just because a document is important, everything in it is right.
So you disagree with this?
Yeah, I disagree with what you...
Just read from the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah, what you said, your own opinion, when you put your own opinion on what the Declaration...
Well, I'll just read it. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal,
yes,
and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. This is where you get your idea that I can't hurt you. That's where this comes from, mm-hmm, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Right.
So this concept actually comes from the Creator, not from man, and therefore it's enforceable.
That depends on if you believe in a Creator or not. Correct.
Fair enough. I take it you don't.
No.
Okay. I take it you do or don't believe in a Creator. This is worse than the sprinkler question by a lot, isn't it? Yeah. Do you believe in a God?
I don't want to talk about that.
All right. Too personal.
I'm just eating lunch.
All right. Okay, so dude, you don't believe in a Creator. Is that right? Do you have any sort of religious upbringing or background?
I was raised Christian, yeah.
Yeah. What stripe? What color? What flavor?
Methodist.
So what did Methodist teach? Hey, you're not talking anymore. What did Methodist teach about God? Did the Methodists teach that God exists? They do.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. How come you rejected it?
Because I used my own mind to think about what they were saying, and it didn't seem right to me.
Okay. What didn't seem right?
The meek shall inherit the earth.
You don't like that idea?
No.
Who do you think should?
Well, I don't think I don't think meekness should be a virtue.
Really?
Really.
What do you think is a virtue? Boldness? Imposition?
Imposition is not, but boldness is.
Okay, so bold is good, meekness is bad.
Yes.
So everybody should be maximum bold. Doesn't somebody need to be meek?
No, I mean, you can agree with other bold people.
Okay, so define bold for me. What's wrong with meekness?
Meekness is allowing other people to influence your life when they shouldn't be.
Okay. How's about this? Giving deference to somebody. I don't know you, but you come before me because I'm meek and I serve you. Is that a bad thing?
Yeah, that's a bad thing.
It is a bad thing.
Because I can't respect somebody who says that.
Oh, wow.
How can I respect you if you put me before you?
Because it's a noble, meek thing to do? Because meekness is good?
I mean, it's okay for you to believe that, but it's also okay for me to not...
But you were the guy who said that you shouldn't impose on other people, but it sounds to me like you like boldness.
No, I'm not imposing on you at all. You're allowed to think what you think, and I'm allowed to think what I think.
So why would that issue drive you away from believing in God? What about that gets up your nose?
Because Christianity asks you to put they ask you to put your neighbor before yourself.
And that's bad.
That could be good for some people, but I don't believe that.
Okay. So that, why would that drive you away, though? And that's pretty, I don't want to say abstract, but it's not a very, it's not something that you see happening every day. I mean, you're sitting here going to school. Why would that drive you away from God?
That's a pretty central tenet of Christianity, is it not?
It's a tenet, but it's not the biggie.
It's not the biggest, no, but, I mean, if that's one of the central tenets, then how come most Christians don't do it?
Because they're hypocrites. But right. Why that? Is it because you don't like being told what to do or how to live? Is that the issue?
Partly.
Yeah, I'm guessing almost entirely, actually.
I mean, also, if they're all hypocrites, then why would you want to associate with them?
I frankly wouldn't. I'm not nuts about hypocrisy.
Okay.
Gentlemen, thanks for the chat today. Appreciate it.
No problem.
All right. See ya. Ooh! Ooh! Here, this is a little environmental tip. Don't ever squat like that when you're checking out a water source because all the blood. Hold on 1 second, okay?
No, I don't want to be...
Yeah, that's right. You just hold on 1 second. Okay. Alrighty. Oh, it's a sweaty feeble. Oh, God better rescue America or we're in big trouble. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio.
This is me biting my tongue introducing Paul Marty from Tomorrow Clubs.
Communism so wreaked havoc in the countries where we work that they not only need physical rebuilding, but they need spiritual rebuilding as well.
Would love to offer a political commentary, but instead would like to encourage you to support your very own Tomorrow Club. In Eastern Europe, they are still feeling the ravages of communism, and very few missionary organizations seem to find their way to the poorest of the poor nations in Eastern Europe. Tomorrow Clubs does. They teach the gospel to kids every week in kids' clubs. They meet in small, poor villages where they share the gospel. The kids get saved. They bring the gospel home, and moms and dads get saved. Please consider supporting your very own Tomorrow Club at tomorrowclub.org/wretched.
Hey, thank you so much for listening in to Wretched Radio today. We are certainly appreciative of your time and definitely don't take it for granted. You know, Halloween just around the corner, and that means it's time to break out the Snickers bar, the Butterfingers, the candy bowls, and the gospel tracks. That's right, the gospel tracks. This year, give the kids the gospel with the booklet Don't Stub Your Toe. And it's super easy to do. When kids come to your door, give them candy and Don't Stub Your Toe for them to read and bring home to their parents. Don't Stub Your Toe is the perfect booklet to give away to anyone in need of hearing the gospel. It's a thorough presentation of the good news that absolutely anybody can understand. The mission field is literally coming to your doorstep this Halloween, so don't pass up on this opportunity to give the gospel with Don't Stub Your Toe. Just visit wretched.org/toe to get your copies to give away. That's wretched.org/toe. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
What does $28 buy these days? Well, for starters, it buys an ultrasound. More importantly, it buys a life.
My pregnancy was unplanned. Abortion was in the back of my mind, but seeing my baby girl moving and hearing the heartbeat, it was so overwhelming. We can't wait to welcome our baby girl into this world.
That is one grateful mommy, and I'm certain it will be one grateful baby who was given life because you provided a free ultrasound through preborn.org/wretched. $28 will provide an ultrasound 80% of the time. A mommy who is choosing the termination of her own child will choose life. Will you please consider supporting this very efficient and life-saving ministry that preaches the gospel? Preborn.org/wretched.
Books of the Bible. Zephaniah begins with a shocking prophecy that God will sweep away everything from the face of the earth. But in the midst of judgment, God offers hope of salvation. Zephaniah gives us a picture of God's terrible wrath and reminds us of the wrath Jesus took upon himself for our sake. Flee to the Savior and be saved. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Now I'm going to be chatting with a young man who's eating a sandwich, and they are Wheat Thins, am I correct?
They are Wheat Thins.
What's your first name, by the way?
Daniel.
Nice to meet you, Daniel. That's a Bible name, you know that?
I do.
Mm-hmm. Who is Daniel?
Started with, like, King Nebuchadnezzar. He, like, put him in a cage full of lions, and he believed in God, and he knew that if he had faith in the Lord that the lions would not attack him.
Well, that's pretty good. Are you a Daniel?
Actually, I think I am.
You believe in God?
I do believe in God, but I don't know if I've gotten to the point where if I have faith in the Lord, I will be safe, but I feel like confidence is a big issue.
You're lacking it?
No. I feel like, well, I used to be. I'm getting a lot better, but I feel like if I'm confident in something that I can accomplish anything almost.
Mm-hmm. So who is this God of yours?
This God of mine, I don't know, he's everywhere. Like, I don't know.
Name, please.
Name? I guess Lord Jesus Christ.
So you're a Christian?
I am a Christian, but I don't know. I'm kind of exploring different things. Like, I do believe there is a God. I think the Christian belief of a God is the closest to my view. But
so you're looking for one to match your presupposition. Is that correct, Daniel?
I guess. Yeah, that's correct.
Isn't that idolatry?
Maybe. I don't know.
Where you make a God in your own image to suit yourself?
Right. Yeah, it could be. I don't know.
Wouldn't that be commandment number two, Daniel?
Maybe, yes. That's correct. That is commandment number two.
Okay. So how did you become a Christian?
I don't know. I think there's just too many things in this world that are beautiful. And, you know, I do believe that there is a possibility this is all a coincidence. But I do believe that something had to have caused this coincidence in the first place. Like, I believe in evolution. I believe that, you know, I don't necessarily believe that everything happens for a reason. I don't necessarily believe in destiny, but I do believe that there is some kind of intelligent, bringing out a word, intelligent design behind all this.
That's okay. Now, Daniel, do you ever remember being in a near-fatal car accident?
Yeah. Yes.
What year was it?
I mean, there are a few. I'd say probably...
Give me the big one.
A year ago, maybe?
Yeah. What street were you on?
I think I was on North Avenue.
And what happened? Were you the bonehead driver or somebody else?
I think I was the bonehead driver because I wasn't looking up, and I was going very fast, and I didn't realize that the person in front of me had stopped, and I, at the very last second, was able, like, I probably landed within a millimeter of him. It was great.
A miracle.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Daniel, there's a reason I asked you that question.
Okay.
Because that was a big event. That was a life and death sort of affair where you almost died and you remembered it because it was important, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Have you ever heard the term in Christianity called being born again?
I have.
Uh-huh. Jesus said that unless a man is born again, mm-hmm. he will not enter the kingdom of God. Do you know what it means to be born again?
I don't.
In general, it doesn't mean that you go into your mother's womb to be reborn.
Right.
That's ridiculous. It wasn't physical. It's a spiritual rebirth.
Right.
It's the day that you, Daniel, die to yourself. You stop living for you. You stop living for your desires. You apologize to God by saying you're sorry without any defense. You turn from your sins, dead to yourself, killed by the law, and he makes you alive. And he suddenly makes you a child, because the Bible says, if you are unregenerated, you're not born again, you're actually a child of the devil. Everybody likes to say everybody's a child of God. In a general sense, God
right.
made everything.
Right.
But only those who repent and trust Jesus, die to themselves, in other words, are adopted into his family and have a unique relationship with him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That is a big deal.
Yeah.
You are one day on a highway to hell, and the next minute, you are on the highway to heaven because your sins are forgiven. The things you used to love, you hate. The sins you used to adore, now you despise them. And the things you used to hate, like Bible reading and church and those Christians that are born again, suddenly you're very interested in those things. It is radical.
Yeah.
Now, you remember the day you almost died in a car accident.
Yes.
But you don't remember the day that you were born again.
That's correct. I don't know if I classify myself as that born-again Christian.
Hmm. Yeah, well then you wouldn't be a Christian, am I correct?
I guess. So if I'm not born again Christian, then perhaps I'm not a Christian. But I believe that there is a God. Maybe I should clarify myself. Like, I believe that there's a God, but maybe not in the sense of, you know, he's some dude up in the clouds wearing sandals with long white hair that, you know, TV portrays him as. I just believe that there is some kind of intelligence. I mean, there's...
Here's the deal, Daniel. I was very similar to you. Mm-hmm. I actually studied to be a pastor.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't born again.
Okay.
Kind of a problem. You should actually be a Christian in order to be a pastor. I think it should be one of the first qualifications, but I wasn't.
Yeah, I would say so.
Because the whole believing in God thing, I was okay with that because it didn't require anything of me. I could just go, flip, I believe it.
Yeah.
Am I getting out of hell? Good.
Right.
That's off the to-do list. Now I can get back to living any way that I want to.
Right.
The key word, though, I think in Christianity, especially in this whole born-again concept, is the word repentance.
Mm-hmm.
That's the biggie.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one that most people stumble over. And do you know what it means to repent?
I believe it's basically just to confess to God that you have done something wrong and you're aware of that.
Okay.
And
let's try that. I'm gonna repent, all right? First of all, I'm going to sin against you.
Okay.
Bing! Right in the nose.
Okay.
In fact, a couple of them. Ding, ding! Okay. Three shots to the nose. And I just want you to know I realize that what I've done is wrong.
Well,
so I just practiced repentance on you, and I'm guessing it's not very satisfying.
Right. It's not very satisfying because I feel like repentance is more of like you're not thinking about right or wrong in the act, and then afterwards you realize that was terrible.
Well, there could be remorse, though, because of the consequences. You're stronger than me. You could hit me in the nose harder. I don't like that idea. I'm repentant.
Right.
Here's the deal. All right, we're in Atlanta.
Right.
Let's say you and I, we've now become fast friends, and to get out of this humidity, we're going to drive to the north.
Okay.
There's less humidity up there.
Yeah, that's true.
So we start driving, and a few hours go by, and all of a sudden you see a sign that says, Florida, 82 miles.
Oh.
Yeah. Something's wrong.
Yeah.
I'm going the wrong direction.
Right.
You want me to repent. Let's reason together what you want me to do. I have, if you will, sinned against you. I've done you wrong. I promised you I would take you this way. I took you the wrong direction. I've sinned against Daniel. Now, I'm guessing you want me to, first of all, agree with me. You show me the sign. You know what, Daniel? You're right. We're going in the wrong direction. I'm wrong. You're right. That's what you said. That's step one.
Okay.
Agreeing.
Okay.
Right? Second thing, though, is you don't want me to keep driving to Florida. You want me to stop, right?
Right.
Do you want me to just stop and sit there?
I'd say let's turn around.
Bingo. That would be number three.
Okay.
Okay, so I've turned around. Do you want me to stay there?
No, we should probably go in the correct direction.
That is correct. And also, you don't want me to stop until we get there.
Right.
But something else hasn't been satisfied. I haven't said I'm sorry. Daniel, I did you wrong. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I have no excuse, no defense. That's what repentance is, those six things.
Okay.
That's genuine repentance.
Okay.
Now, the question is, how does somebody get that? Because if you get that, you get God.
Right.
All right. Here's the deal. I'm going to probe into your life right now.
Mm-hmm.
Would you consider yourself to be a good person, Daniel?
Yes, I would.
All right. I'm going to quiz you on that, all right?
Okay.
How many lies have you told in your lifetime?
I've told probably plenty of lies.
Okay. If I told plenty of lies, you'd call me a
liar.
Okay. Agreed?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, no. I take that back. I wouldn't call you a liar because
okay with it because I am.
No. I understand. Like, someone who tells lies is not necessarily...
liar.
Is, I guess, a liar. But
that's right.
But if you were to tell someone that they were a liar, that means that they tell lies all the time, just right and left.
Only takes one.
Yeah.
How many times does somebody need to murder somebody to be called a murderer?
One.
One time. One lie, you're a liar.
Okay.
All right. Stolen anything?
No, I've never stolen anything.
Yeah, I mean, not necessarily from a store, Target, parents.
Oh, we're talking music. I've stolen plenty of music.
See, it doesn't matter what the object is.
No, you're right.
It's a heart issue.
That's correct.
All right? Because God looks into the heart.
Right.
And examines what's going on in your brain.
Right.
Okay. So have you ever taken God's name in vain? Used God's name in a bad
way?
That
is one thing I've not done.
Ever?
Ever. I've just
OMG?
Never done that. Nope. Well, right. Sometimes I say, oh my gosh, but I don't consider gosh as God.
Okay. We'll debate whether that's a minced oath or not. Let's try this one.
Okay.
I don't think you're going to wriggle from this one.
Okay.
All right. Jesus said, you've heard it said of old, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say, if you look with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart.
Right.
Looking with lust.
Mm-hmm.
Done that?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. So I'm going to do a summary. You're a liar.
Mm-hmm.
You're a thief. You're an adulterer at heart.
Mm-hmm.
You stand before God on judgment day. Will he see you as being a good person?
I think so.
You're a liar. You're a thief. And you're an adulterer at heart.
Yeah.
So you're a good criminal?
Because I don't think God focuses on all of the bad things that
you've
done.
Oh, he sure does.
Okay.
He's a just judge.
Okay.
That's what justice does. That's
right.
Why there's a court system.
Right.
In the sight of the judge, our little sins are trifles. They just mm-hmm. We don't think they're a big deal.
Right.
It's the one against whom we've sinned that makes it a big deal.
Right.
His standard is way higher. Because he's infinite and he's high and he's holy, even a little infraction, that's why he says something like, all liars will have their part in a lake of fire. One lie, off you go, because you've sinned against a holy God. So Daniel, you'd be like the rest of us, and be exactly the way the Bible says, guilty before a holy God. Should he send you to heaven or to hell?
I still believe he should send me to heaven.
He says he's going to send you to hell.
Okay, well, right? Then that's going to have to be the way it is then.
Well, that's what he says will happen unless you repent and put your trust in Jesus.
Okay.
Because God is good, and he came to rescue and die for you and me, sinners. It's the good news of the gospel, and it's a message that should make you go, I had no idea God was that good, and I'm sorry because he's good, and even if he doesn't give me heaven, I'm still sorry because he's been that kind. That's the gospel. All right. Dude, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Sorry I'm all sweaty.
No,
I appreciated
right.
The chat, and I'm sorry that I kept you from your wheat thins.
Oh, no, it's all good.
All right, man. Thanks very much.
Hey, no problem.
We'll see you.
Wretched Radio, right?
It is indeed.
Okay.
Wretched Radio, and that's what this is. Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I am Jimmy Hicks. Well, the Southern Baptist Convention's publishing arm, Lifeway Christian Resources, and the organization's former president, Tom Rainer, announced yesterday that they have come to an amicable resolution of their differences, which heads off a potentially embarrassing breach of contract lawsuit. Lifeway alleged in a lawsuit filed last month in Williamson County, Tennessee, that Rainer violated a transition agreement he signed with the SBC publisher upon his 2019 retirement not to do business with their competitors. The agreement, under which he was reportedly paid in excess of $1 million, prevented him from doing business with Lifeway's competitors until October of 2021. In August, however, Tyndale House Publishers, which is specifically listed as a Lifeway competitor in the transition agreement with Rainer, announced that it had reached a multi-book, multi-year agreement with Rainer, sparking Lifeway's lawsuit and a rumble in evangelical circles. Rainer previously said that in October 2019, he received a written and amicable release from publishing with Lifeway Christian Resources and spoke with the organization's attorney and had assumed all was well until he received notice of the lawsuit. Lifeway contended in its lawsuit that the termination of the publishing agreement did not release Rainer from the non-compete section of his transition agreement, which keeps him as a paid Lifeway employee through October 2020. Under the new settlement, Rainer will end his partnership with Tyndale and honor the terms of the transition agreement. Well, Netflix, after facing intense public backlash for airing the provocative film Cuties, which many, including myself, saw as sexualizing children, is now facing criminal charges in the state of Texas. Texas State Representative Matt Schaefer made public a grand jury indictment that has been filed in Tyler County, Texas, alleging Netflix is guilty of promoting lewd visual material depicting a child. According to the indictment, Netflix knowingly promoted visual material which depicts the genitalia or pubic area of a clothed or partially clothed child who was younger than 18 years of age at the time the visual material was created. Concurrent with Texas action, multiple lawmakers of both parties in Washington, D.C. called on the Justice Department to criminally investigate Netflix for the same offense of dabbing in the promotion of child pornography. Additionally, there has been fear among those who work to rescue sex trafficked children that Cuties depicts the grooming behavior consistent with child predation. Netflix has continued to defend itself throughout the ordeal, claiming that the film was meant to show the sexual pressure that young girls face by actually showing young girls in sexually provocative situations. Yeah, makes perfect sense. More Wretched Radio is still to come. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Son of Man. Daniel chapter 7 describes the Son of Man who came from heaven, received worship from all nations, and rules a kingdom that will never be destroyed. Jesus uses this title to affirm that he is fully human and fully divine. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is Wretched Radio. It is Witness Wednesday. And excuse me, young man, are you headed to class right now? How far is your walk?
I would say 2 minutes.
2 minutes. Can I talk to you while you're walking? You don't even have to slow down for me, all right?
Okay.
2 minutes. Dude, what are you studying here?
I'm studying electrical computer engineering.
Electrical, so you want to wire computers?
I don't know.
I'm just kind of guessing. All right, where are you from?
I'm from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
I spent a week in Pittsburgh one day.
Yeah?
They got potholes there.
One day for a week.
You picked up on that. Yeah. Good for you, sharp young man. All right. I want to ask you just a flat-out question about origins. Dude, where do you think you came from?
Where did I come from?
Besides Pittsburgh.
Well, I guess I came from my parents.
Okay, the big philosophical question. Banged, God, evolved.
Yeah, I'd say as a species evolved from something.
Yeah, so you believe in evolution.
I do believe in evolution. I know there are definitely some holes and missing links.
Do you believe in God?
I think so. I think mainly probably the big reason is that if I don't and I'm wrong, then I'm in trouble.
But that's Pascal's wager. Did you know that?
Yeah.
You got nothing to lose, so give it a go. Have you heard about Pascal?
Yeah. But in some ways, I think that's probably a cop-out on my part and on a lot of people's parts.
Well, you know what I think about Pascal's wager? I know it's hard to imagine, but if I were God and somebody just kind of rolled the dice with me because, well, I've got nothing else to lose, I'm not sure I'd be so nuts about their reason for believing in me.
I think I'd probably agree with you.
All right. So you're Blaise Pascal, Christian. So you would be of the Christian bent, is that correct?
I think so, but mainly just because that's how I was raised. I was raised Catholic, so I went to a Catholic school, and when you're there long enough, it sort of sticks with you, I suppose.
What is your understanding from a Catholic perspective? What do you need to do to go to heaven?
Well, I think that's hard for me to say, just because.
What were you taught?
What was I taught? Well,
were you paying attention during catechism?
I mean, seems to me from the Catholic perspective that there's many different rules that you need to follow. And,
okay, I'm going to summarize. You need to follow the rules.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you need to do to go to heaven?
I'd say that's what I was taught. I mean, basically the way that I try to live my life is just treat other people the way that I would want to be treated.
Kind of a golden rule.
I think that's the main thing. And I think even without religion or whatever, I think that just the general idea of, you know, the world has its problems, and if we're just nice to each other, I mean, can make the day just a better day.
Okay,
just a better place to live.
You mentioned about keeping the rules. Are you talking about, like, the Ten Commandments?
Yeah, I suppose so, but I think even more so than the Ten Commandments from the Catholic perspective.
Wait, just interrupt you for a second. Forget all the extra ones. The Ten Commandments. Have you kept those rules?
Have I kept those rules? Yeah, I think so, for the most part.
Which one?
Well, I suppose that if you say keeping the Sabbath, that's probably something that people don't do very
well. You haven't done that. You haven't gone to church every Sunday.
Certainly not.
You've never told a lie?
Have I? I was picking them off as
okay,
I go,
okay, so they
right?
came to mind. Okay, well, okay. Well, I'll jump in with lying. Have you lied?
Oh, well, certainly. Right?
So you haven't kept that rule?
Yeah.
Coveting.
Coveting.
Wanting stuff that doesn't belong to you.
Yeah.
Win the lottery, somebody's car.
Probably a lot of the rules, right?
Okay. So you haven't kept the rules. Blasphemy?
Blasphemy.
Taking the name of the Lord thy God in vain?
Yeah, probably.
Busted that one?
But,
lusting?
I feel as if blasphemy is probably... That's a kind of a loaded word, right?
Well, sure. But even if he's the God of the universe, to use his name in a bad way, that'd be a big no-no. What about lusting?
Lusting? Yeah, probably.
Not just committing the act, but just thinking about it.
Yeah.
Okay, because if God sees inside of your head...
Yeah.
Okay, so you haven't kept the rules.
Yeah. Well, I started out by saying that I don't believe I kept the rules.
Rewind the tape. I think you said you pretty much kept the rules.
Well, I think that I try to keep... try to keep my own rules, which is just the simpler one that I went back to, which is the basic idea. But, I mean, well, it goes back to the idea that none of us are
perfect,
right?
I think it's a tough question. I agree completely. Couldn't agree with you more. In fact, that's what the Bible says. Nobody does good, not one. Mm-hmm. Okay, tough question. If you died and God judged you, the books are open. He knows your thought, knows your deeds, everything you've done behind closed doors, everything you failed to do that's good. Would you be innocent or guilty?
innocent or guilty.
Yeah, I mean, I would hope that, let's say, well, you tried to live your life in a good way, and even though you didn't keep the rules exactly, you know, maybe my, you know, the rules of one person is slightly different from another person. The only reason I have these rules is because I was raised in this household, not in that household. So I would hope that innocent.
If the rules are the Ten Commandments, right, and God is your judge, if you've broken the laws, that would make you a lawbreaker.
Yeah.
Which would make you guilty.
Yeah.
Right?
I suppose.
You know, kind of compartmentalize. Sometimes I do good over here, a couple of bad things over there, but he'll just look at this box and not that box.
Well, but if you have to do it as a black and white sort of guilty, innocent thing, then I
That's
think
what
we're
justice
on,
is.
But then we're all in trouble,
I agree.
Right?
Well, potentially. Yeah, if God just judges and there's no curve, you're right, we're in big trouble. I agree.
Yeah.
Me more so than you.
I mean, I'm an engineer, right? I mean, I go and I take an exam and I get a 60% on it.
You fail.
Which is failing, but if you know, grade on a curve, hey, maybe that's an A.
Okay, to use your test analogy, God's grade, 100%, anything lower, you fail.
Yeah.
Break one law, you failed.
Yeah.
Fair enough? Break one law, they're all gone. Uh-huh. All right, tougher question still, and we'll let you scoot, all right? So if you're guilty before God, would you go to heaven, or would he send you to hell?
Well, I mean, isn't that the concept of the grace of God, right?
That, potentially, but I didn't ask that question. Where should you go, heaven or hell?
Where should you go, heaven or hell? Well, I would hope that it would be heaven.
That's what I would hope, too. But if he doesn't grade on a curve and you're guilty, what should he do with you?
What should he do with me? Well, I mean, if that's the rule, is that it's black and white, that guilty is this, and if you're guilty, then you go to hell, then I guess that's what it is.
Hell.
But, I mean,
How old are you?
How old am I? Yeah. I am 23.
23. And on a highway to hell.
Apparently.
Apparently.
Yeah.
All right. What's this about grace? What are you talking about?
What am I talking about?
Yeah.
About grace?
Yeah.
Well, I suppose my understanding is, I guess, sort of what I said, if you go back to the curve analogy, that none of us are perfect, and he's giving you kind of the benefit of the doubt. I guess that's my oversimplification.
Imagine a judge, though, who did that, okay? Yeah. If there was, like, a really bad criminal standing there, and the judge said, you know, normally you'd be guilty, but I'm in a good mood today. I'm going to grade on a curve. You're free to go. Would he be a good judge?
Would he be a good judge? Well, I mean, it depends on what the...
No, he'd be a bad judge.
Well, it depends on what the law was that you're judging. If the law was, okay, you did these things, but maybe that wasn't that big of an issue.
Okay, let's try this. All right, here's our tension going on here, all right? God is just. Sees you as a sinner.
Okay.
He's got to punish you.
Okay.
He's got to. Because otherwise, you wouldn't be just. In fact, you wouldn't even be loving to me because you broke crime. You did crimes, and he lets you go. That's not fair, and it's not loving, and it's not just. It's not right.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so here's our tension. God in the courtroom has to send you to hell.
Okay.
But he's good, and he's kind, and he's loving, and he's merciful.
Uh-huh.
And he'd like to let you go, but there's this justice problem.
Uh-huh.
So he can't just set you free, but he'd like to set you free. There's a tension happening, and here's what resolves the tension. If somebody pays your fine for you, justice can be satisfied, and God can demonstrate grace to you and kindness to you and let you go because somebody satisfied your debt. That's what grace would be. And that's what the gospel is, right? Isn't that what the Christian gospel is? Forget Catholic. That's the Christian gospel.
Yeah.
Jesus came and kept the laws, took the punishment you deserve, your badness on Jesus, Jesus' goodness to your account, so you can be set free.
Yeah.
Not for being a good person, but by being a forgiven bad person. That's grace. Right?
Actually, whenever you're saying it and explaining it with the courtroom analogy, it still doesn't come out as fair, though, does it?
It's not fair at all.
Yeah.
You get everything. Jesus got the very short end of the stick. Mm-hmm. You're right. It's not fair.
Mm-hmm.
But it's called mercy and grace and kindness and goodness and love.
Mm-hmm.
God demonstrated his love by dying for you, a sinner. You're right. It's not fair. But it's good news.
Yeah, I suppose it's good news,
right.
But I mean...
This is it, I promise. I'm going to let you go.
Okay.
Here's what you need to do, right? You don't just run this through your brain and either accept it or reject it. What God says is you must repent, okay? I don't know if you're ever taught that. It's a big fancy word that means say you're sorry, turn from your sins, and put your trust in Jesus. Repentance and faith. Got to come clean with God, no defense, No arguing. I'm sorry. I've done wrong. Turn from your sins. You don't become perfect. Put your trust in Jesus. And then his goodness credited to you, your badness goes to him, and you can be taken to heaven because of what Jesus did for you. Repentance and faith. That's the good news of the gospel. All right, he and I are going to chat. Witness Wednesday, Wretched Radio.
We know all too well how hard it is to fall into a routine. We've all been there, especially during a pandemic. We get lazy, and then one day it becomes 1 week. But listen, don't let your skip days become skip months. Get back into watching Wretched TV. Give your brain the theological workout that it so desperately needs. I mean, watching one episode of Wretched TV is like the equivalent of losing 0 calories. You're not going to find that anywhere else. And Wretched TV has so much to offer. Our 30-minute program covers subjects that vary from pneumatology to parenting to evangelizing and so much more, but they don't talk about those in that Zumba class. So let your brain do some heavy lifting and watch Wretched TV. You can find Wretched TV on Truly, Roku, Amazon Prime, Amazon Fire TV, or at wretched.org/TV. That's wretched.org/TV. Now get to stretching. Your brain, that is.
And now a story from Dr. John MacArthur.
When I began preaching many years ago, expositional messages, they started circulating the earth on cassette tape. Pretty soon I started getting invitations from places all around the world to preach there. And people said, we haven't heard preaching like this. Can you teach us how? And eventually they would say, can you stay and start a school and train our pastors? And now it's developed into maybe 35 different places where the graduates of the Master Seminary have now set up training schools to train pastors around the world, and it's expanding to the point where I think we have 50 cities waiting for us to come and do the same thing there.
Specifically waiting for you to consider adopting a seminary overseas, Master Seminary graduates equipping men to fill pulpits and rightly divide the word of truth. It's a magnificent ministry. Encourage you to learn more and consider supporting the Master's Academy International at wretched.org/pastor.
129 people commit suicide each and every day. 129 people, that's 129 too many. As a matter of fact, this generation has the highest reported levels of clinical anxiety and depression than any other generation at the same age. People are in desperate need of help, and that's why Wretched has come out with our newest booklet, 13 Reasons Why You Should Not Commit Suicide and 13 Reasons Why You Should Live. This booklet targets the heart of anyone struggling with the issues of depression, anxiety, and suicide. You may not realize it at the moment, but you do know someone who's dealing with these issues right now. And 13 Reasons Why You Should Not Commit Suicide is going to provide them with the biblical answers for the struggles that they're facing. So get your copies now and give these booklets away to someone who needs hope. You can find your copies online right now at our website, wretched.org/13. That's wretched.org/13.
Attributes of God. God is incomprehensible. Finite humans cannot fully comprehend the one who created everything. Yet he has revealed himself in the Bible, and while we cannot know him exhaustively, we can know what is true about him. And once we are reconciled through Christ, we will never stop learning about him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
All right, I'm at Georgia Tech, and there's a guy with brown socks and tennis shoes. You gotta talk to a guy like that. Excuse me, sir. While you're walking to wherever, may I talk to you on the radio for a moment?
Sure.
You okay with that? What are you studying here at Georgia Tech?
I'm doing a PhD. Electrical engineering.
You're very smart.
I don't know about that.
What's your PhD? Do you have to write a big paper at the end of it to get your PhD?
Yeah.
Do you know what it's going to be on?
Yeah, it is. I'm doing image processing, so I have to recognize some patterns in images using some mathematical algorithms.
Now, I just heard something about a camera and the human eye. Maybe you'll know if this is right or wrong. But a camera lens, it goes in and out to focus, correct?
Yeah.
The human eye, though, is convex.
Yeah.
I can turn my eye and it's instantly in focus all over the place.
Yeah.
And that the eye is the most intricately designed camera lens ever. Is that accurate?
Yeah. I mean, because it's result of, according to biologists, millions of years of evolution or whatever.
Really?
I don't know.
So that happened by chance?
I don't really believe that it happened by chance. There must be some, I think, some idea of the eye before it came into existence.
Somebody had to design it.
At least there should be some inbuilt idea inside that system.
Something. Some intelligence.
Information, yeah.
I agree completely. Do you think it's God?
Yeah, I think so. But how does it matter? I mean, most people like Dawkins would not believe.
Right. Who do you think God is?
God is a person.
Who do you think it is? Are you a Christian, a Buddhist, a Hindu, a Muslim?
I'm a Hindu.
So who is your God?
My God is Krishna.
And who is Krishna? Tell me something about Krishna. Give me two things that I'd like to learn about Krishna. No more specifically. Two things that Krishna has done for me.
He had spoken the Bhagavad Gita, which is actually a message on how to live your life in accordance with God's desire.
Okay, so he's written a book.
Yeah, I mean, he has spoken about it. Then he has practically, through the example of his devotees, expressed the method in how to achieve him.
How to achieve what?
How to achieve love of God.
Okay, why should I love Krishna?
I mean, when you search for attributes of God, he is complete in renunciation. He is all powerful.
Renunciation, does that mean getting rid of your desires?
No, I mean, renunciation is, I'm saying that he is complete or perfect. He's the source of everything. So he will contain everything, even contradictory things, like Nicholas of Cusa has said, God should contain even polar opposite and harmonize it, because he is above good and bad, you know.
Okay.
He's transcendental to material conception.
Okay, I want to swap something with you right now. All right, yeah. I'm a Christian. Okay,
I believe I have been inspired by the examples of Christian people, and I read them.
Yeah,
like especially, obviously Jesus is there, but even afterwards, it's the one person who inspired me a lot is Saint Francis of Assisi.
Yeah. So, you know, Jesus claimed to be God, right?
Yeah, I mean, there are different interpretations of the Bible. Right, but I agree that, like, he is an empowered son of God.
Okay. So. Okay, but I believe he's God. So he would be, if you will, you say Krishna is God, I say Jesus is God. Here's what Jesus has done for me.
Okay.
He died to take the punishment that I deserve from God for my sins. So that I can go to heaven because I'm forgiven because of what Jesus did.
Yes, yeah, so
that's what Jesus has done for me.
So similarly, if you surrender to Krishna, he promises that he'll take care of all your sins.
And how does he do that? Who paid for our sins?
He takes care of the sins because he's God. So
How does justice play into this, though?
There's a tension between justice and mercy. So justice comes into play. As you sow, you shall reap. But once you take a step towards God, he can overrule the justice to show his mercy. That is his special characteristic.
I would argue with you that that isn't justice, that is turning a blind eye to justice, and it's actually not loving because he doesn't uphold justice, and it's not loving to the other people that he doesn't let go. If he just dismisses somebody's court case, he has not been just. And in Christianity, that's what makes it, to me, make a lot of sense, is that Jesus satisfied my legal debt by dying for me so that God could forgive, not just because he wants to, but because he wants to and he can because of what Jesus did for me.
Yeah.
Would you agree that there should be some justice, that there should be a legal day of reckoning for every human being?
I agree that there is justice, and this world where we live in is exactly based on justice. Whatever you do, you will reap according to what you do. And mostly, everything which most people do, nobody has a perfect life. I don't believe that it's almost impossible for anybody to just be completely perfect. So you obviously there will
I
be
agree.
Some negative
I agree.
Repercussions
for that. For instance, let me ask you. Okay. Have you ever told lies in your life?
Sure.
Okay. Have you ever stolen anything?
Stolen?
Anything. Not necessarily from a store, from a brother or sister,
yeah.
downloading music.
Yeah.
Okay. Have you ever had sexual desires or
sure.
lustful thoughts?
Yeah.
Okay. So you've broken those rules.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So
and if God is just,
he should punish
you.
Surely.
Right.
So I'm ready to take the punishment, but I just...
But here's the good news.
Yeah.
Jesus took the punishment for you.
I mean, yeah, but I mean, that's what I'm saying, that there are many paths where you
No, no, that's not what I'm saying. No, this
what?
Is a unique path.
Yeah, there
Jesus
is a
said,
unique...
I'm the only path. I'm the only way. I took the punishment on your behalf so you don't have to be punished, because I'm a just God and I will punish the wrongdoer, but I'm good and I'm kind and I'm merciful. So God satisfied justice by sending his Son, who is God, Jesus Christ, to take the punishment you deserve, to keep all the laws
you've
broken.
He's one with, according to me, he's one with God, but he's not, there is a unity and diversity. Like, he was simultaneously one and different from God.
Well,
that's what I think.
I'm not sure we're too far away. Three distinct persons, yet one.
Yeah, so it's
okay.
Some kind of fires and, yeah, I mean.
But he rejects every other God besides himself. He says every other God is an idol. And if that's true, that would mean Krishna is an idol.
Yeah, I mean, but he doesn't describe God himself.
Oh,
so
he is God himself.
Yeah, but the Father, you don't
he
have
says
the
He and the Father are one.
Yeah, but still there is a Father. But you don't know the description of the Father. And I
sure,
believe
he's
that
just, justice
I
and righteousness.
That he's the sacrificer for us. But who he's sacrificing for, the complete, the person who accepts all our sacrifices has to be somebody who can absorb everything you give, you know. We are actually souls meant to give and serve, and there is somebody who is meant to receive the service.
But here's our problem.
Yeah.
We haven't done what we've been told to do.
Certainly,
we've broken the laws, and the only way that God can forgive is if there's a payment, and Jesus is the perfect payment because he was the perfect God-man. And friend, I'll just leave you with this thought.
Yeah.
If that's true, it means, if it's true, that your God is an idol, but the good news is you can have all of your sins forgiven, not based on what you've done, but based on what Jesus has done.
God is, if you worship the representation like a cross or idol, it doesn't mean that he's that. He's transcendent to that, but he has a power.
About worshiping Jesus.
He has a power to, even if you express some words about God which are imperfect, because you are speaking out of your mind, you are committing some kind of idolatry.
Mm-hmm.
It's because we are not perfect in vision to
okay.
see him. Till the point we are perfect, we have some representations in a book, in a cross, but we don't have a transcendental vision to see God.
Sure, we got the Bible.
Yeah, but
so we can understand who he is and what he demands.
But we are not pure enough right now to access
sure
him directly.
Sure we are.
I mean,
because Jesus made a way for us to have access to him directly.
Yeah, but I don't see that in the Christian people right now.
I agree with you. There's a lot of hypocrites. I agree, sir.
I mean, so...
I agree, but that doesn't mean it's not true.
I agree with that also, but I mean, if there I see more and more people actually...
Let me just say I'm sorry for all the hypocrites. I really am. But don't judge Jesus
based on the followers. I have no problem with Jesus. I mean,
Jesus is very good. But Jesus said he's not very good if he's a liar. He said he's the only true God. Okay? So that's not good if it's false. So it's either true or it's false. Do you have a Bible?
Yeah, I have a Bible.
Open it up and read the Gospel of John. Would you please do that?
Yeah, sure.
That's the one where Jesus really talks a lot about being God.
Yeah, but I'm
Gospel
saying
of
that
John.
Most of the people in the church,
I
they
agree.
Don't really speak about
I
any.
Agree. But that's why, don't trust me. Don't
yeah.
trust people
yeah,
in the
I
church.
Don't, yeah, I don't.
Trust the Bible. Read the Gospel of John.
Yeah.
Fair enough, friend?
Yeah, sure.
You're a gentleman. Thank you very much.
Thank
Goodbye.
You.
Wrong gentleman, but he's a gentleman nonetheless. Sweaty, sopping wet, but grateful that I get to come out here and share with people that there is one way, one truth, one life. Please, please, go get sweaty and do it yourself. Please, please, you're commanded, and it's such a joy. Until tomorrow. And you lose a little weight.
Go serve your king.